Local leaders, top stories, the news that matters most to you. The News Drive at 5 with host Patrick Reynolds starts now.
Welcome to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk. I am Patrick Reynolds on this March the 25th, 2024. Yes, only 9 months until Christmas. So get your shopping done early. It is 5.06 p.m. in the afternoon. Taking you home here on the News Drive. Right before us, you just heard Local Biz Now with Joe Vagnone every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time here on WSIC News Talk Radio Family. Joe Vagnone, noted business broker, really in touch with the community, local business, Lake Norman, North Charlotte, have small community business leaders and principals as guests on his show. Great way to take an ongoing mini class, so to speak, on entrepreneurs, local business. Highly recommend Local Biz Now, Joe Vagnone, 4 p.m. Mondays here on WSIC News Talk, the number one talk business show in all the Villes, from Huntersville to Statesville. Because if it is Monday afternoon, your business matters. Right now, we are here with a News Drive at 5, and the top 5 at 5 stories that we are working on for you this afternoon. A tractor trailer overturned earlier today at the intersection of I-77 and 485. A suspect is wanted in a Catawba County shooting. We're feeling the fallout impact of North Carolina voter ID laws earlier this month. Volunteers are needed to uplift the homeless, and Old Town Cornelius is ready to come alive for its 2024 season. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464 are the listener hotlines. We're ready to take your calls here on the News Drive at 5 and WSIC News Talk. Our top story this afternoon: in Charlotte, an area is back open after emergency personnel dealt with a fuel spill and an overturned tractor trailer in North Charlotte at I-77 North and 485. Charlotte Mecklenburg Police and North Carolina Highway Patrol both responded to a wreck scene at I-77 and 485. The incident happened around 1:30 p.m. this afternoon. Charlotte Medic says a person had non-life-threatening injuries in the crash. The highways are back open as of our airtime. In Hiddenite, one suspect has been arrested and another is wanted on murder charges in the deadly shooting of a Catawba County man this morning. According to the Alexander County Sheriff's Office, the incident occurred around 1:30 today on the 2900 block of Old Mountain Road. Officers reportedly found one victim with a gunshot wound to his chest. Authorities transported the victim, 33-year-old Pang Vui, to Newton, to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead. Officers say they conducted a search warrant for the home in Hiddenite and arrested Jason Fielder with felony murder. He is being held in the Alexander County Detention Center without bond. The Alexander County Sheriff's Office also charged them with murder is 18-year-old Carla Freeland, who is at large. Officers are asking if anyone has information on her whereabouts to call the Alexander County Sheriff's Office. Crime Stoppers is offering a reward for information that could lead to Freeland's arrest. In Iredell County, the Homeless Collaborative Chair opened the month, their monthly meeting, by reminding members that there is no normal. Wendy Martin, Goodwill Project Reentry Coordinator, said, quote, "Things are constantly changing, and we have to keep up on how we can serve effectively," end quote. Collaborative member Pam Navy said warmer weather is bringing more homeless people onto the streets. In the last 2 weeks, she helped in 4 heartbreaking situations, including women with small children without shelter and individuals who have just been released from incarceration with no identification and only a few items in a bag. Navy said in these situations, 10 partners provided assistance. Quote, "It took us all coming together with the resources that we had," end quote. She encouraged community members to volunteer a few hours as they can at area agencies to continue the work of helping people in need, including driving people to appointments or to family in nearby cities. Those looking for volunteer opportunities can visit the United Way Hive page at uwirredale.org. Partner Representative Jerry Campbell said that the QPR, which is suicide prevention, CPR and Narcan trainings can be offered at the shelter, motels, and other locations later this year to persons who are homeless to support this at-risk population and enable them to help others in their stress or struggles. Terry Blankenship of the EMS Community Response Support Team said such trainings are important, posting information about these trainings in homeless camps, low-cost motels, and the shelters will help get the word out. Learning what to say and what to do in crisis situations will help people feel empowered to help. The CRST team keeps backpacks with snacks and supplies, sleek bean bags, tents, and Narcan with them to give out an officer a medical assistant treatment bridge program until the individual can get into regular treatment. Blankenship said the recent demand for tents and sleeping bags has outstripped supplies more than I've ever seen here, quote, and that's pretty telling. Well, in the past, they gave out about 24 tents per year. Now they give out about 60 to 70 annually. Tents, blankets, sleeping bags, sunscreen, and bug spray donations would be welcome if people want to donate. Blankenship said these planned trainings could also be a catalyst to offer self-help and skill-building training offerings in the future, such as how to get IDs, manage finances, and apply for Medicaid. Each of the Homelessness Coalition partners could offer training from their particular assistance angle. Bikes in need of repair can also be donated to homeless advocate Rob Harris, who can get them repaired through a local ministry and then give them to those in need. On Saturday, March the 30th, from 9 a.m. to noon, a Servant's Heart for All People is teaming up with stylists who are offering free haircuts, simple hairstyles, and painting fingernails at the Christian Outreach of the Piedmont in Statesville. On Thursday, April 11th, Partners is holding a landlord informational event from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Mooresville United Way office on North Main Street to help find homes for the housing insecure and the unsheltered. Lunch and prizes will be provided. The Goodwill Spring Forward Rescue Fair and Hiring event is on May 1st from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Workforce Development Center at 4th Crescent Place in Statesville. Multiple employers from a range of industries plus community nonprofits sharing resources and job opportunities will be present. Prospective employees attending the event should bring resumes and proof of any completed certifications. They should also dress for success and be ready to ask questions about job opportunities. Goodwill invites area businesses to participate in this event to find employees to help grow their businesses and better serve their customers. Goodwill will provide tables and chairs, Wi-Fi, snacks, coffee, and water. If you're interested in being a partner or employer at this event, contact Career Connections Coordinator Michael Johnson. They need help to prepare resumes. They can also contact Johnson for assistance. A good cause coming to life. The News Drive at 5 continues on with your local headlines. I'm Patrick Reynolds here on WSIC News Talk. We'll be right back.
Here. We'll be back with more of the News Drive at 5 with Patrick straight ahead on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Call in now to speak with Patrick Reynolds on the News Drive at 5. The number to dial is 844-STUDIO-4. WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk. I am Patrick Reynolds, and like she just said, hotlines are open for our audience. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464 to get your voice heard on the News Drive at 5. Back to your local headlines this afternoon. In Iredell County, During National Child Abuse Prevention Month in April, six child-centered agencies in Iredell and Alexander counties will work together to bring increased awareness to a cause at the heart of their agencies. During fiscal year 2023, 3.9 million reports were made to Child Protective Services in the United States. On Thursday, March 28, 2024, the first of these initiatives will kick off with Tie a Tree Blue in Harmony, Statesville, Troutman, Mooresville, and Taylorsville. Representatives from each agency, civic clubs, media, and the public will tie blue ribbons to the branches of selected trees. The signs placed at each tree will include a message of awareness and phone numbers for reporting abuse and neglect. A town representative will speak briefly about the importance of prevention in our community. The community is encouraged to come and tie ribbons on the trees with the agencies. The schedule is 8 a.m. in Harmony, 10 a.m. in Statesville, noon in Troutman, 2 p.m. in Mooresville, and 4 p.m. in Taylorsville. In addition, the collaboration has provided kits to local schools to tie a tree blue on the school's campuses. The color blue represents child abuse prevention, so the public is encouraged to participate in Wear Blue Day on Friday, April the 12th. Be sure to post pictures on social media using hashtags Wear Blue Day 2024. Churches in the area are encouraged to participate in Wear Blue Sunday on Sunday, April the 14th, and use the hashtag Wear Blue Sunday to post on social media. Downtown Statesville will be turning the bollard lights blue for the month of April, while the street banner will be displayed over Broad Street for the first week of the month as a reminder to all who pass through. The agencies involved have been working on the child abuse prevention campaign since January and hope that their efforts will bring to light the importance of prevention through education, awareness, and advocacy. Iredell and Alexander counties are fortunate to have so many agencies committed to the children in our community. Among them are the Children's Hope Alliance and the Iredell County Department of Social Services. In Davidson, the town has officially launched two social districts within the town limits. The district, which covers most of downtown, and the Davidson Circle social districts, which covers the area of Jeton Street, Peninsula Drive, and Grocery Lane. Operating between the hours of 11 a.m. and 10 p.m. 7 days a week, individuals over 21 can buy from licensed establishments such as bars, breweries, or restaurants, and consume to-go drinks with a designated cup from those participating businesses. The designated boundaries of both districts will be marked with official signage for clarity. Economic Development Director Kim Fleming said, quote, having social districts in Davidson is a welcomed opportunity to invigorate the economic development. This is a great way to encourage patronage of local businesses and to encourage visitors, end quote. Alcoholic beverages must be purchased exclusively from the approved and permitted businesses within the social district, and all drinks must be within specially marked cups or cans with the approved logo design. Local businesses within the social district have the right to opt out of it. For more information, visit townofdavidson.org. That will give you a comprehensive overview of the Davidson Social District site. In Huntersville, well, Scotland, maybe 3,646 miles away from the Loch Norman Highland Games and the Scottish Festival, but they have called Huntersville home for the past 29 years. The Games and Festival will celebrate its 30th anniversary on the weekend of April 19th through the 21st. The Loch Norman Games is one of the most beloved Highland Games in the Southeast. The Games and Festival feature an exciting array of events annually that has become a popular and family-friendly event. They celebrate Scottish history and culture with unique entertainment. The Games feature professional athletes competing to set world records. Seven traditional Scottish events rank professional heavy athletes. The Games have a distinguished reputation with world-class dancers, pipers, and drum artistic programming. In the past, during a non-anniversary year, 15,000 visitors typically attend for the weekend. Attendees travel from an average of 35 of the 50 states in the U.S. and an average of 5 different countries, including England, Mexico, Scotland, and the Netherlands. Bab McIntosh, chair of the Rural Hills Board of Directors and the owner of McIntosh Law Firm, said, quote, "Rural Hill is excited about our 30th annual Loch Norman Highland Games and the attention they bring, which is unique to the area, and bring a diverse group of local, regional, and international personalities to Lake Norman. In celebration of our region and residents, we are glad to continue to be part of what makes Lake Norman fun and for people to come and play." In Cornelius, well, 12 years ago, Cornelius was kind of sleepy, began to grow into Old Town Cornelius, thanks to the vision of Case Warnamundi that he developed when he moved here. Originally from Cincinnati, when Warnamundi arrived in Cornelius, he immediately saw the need to bring the community together. Realizing the vast amount of talent in the area, bringing the arts and the residents together became his goal. Warnamundi describes himself as super passionate, quote, "I love the community and love people," end quote, and he began making connections in the community. He met folks with passion and ideas, but there was a disconnect between what they were doing and what they wanted to do. Warnamundi theorized that if he could create physical and social networks that would highlight local talent and bring together aspiring entrepreneurs and small business owners, he could create a way for residents to support the local community and to be in the know of what's going on in town. Festivals and events seem to be a natural avenue to bring this idea to life, created as part of the Bella Creative Group. Warnamundi soon launched his first festival, Live Love, in 2011. He said, quote, "The community was excited in anticipation for what I was claiming to do. The first event sparked so many new connections and opportunities. I was just linking arms with so many people where I went. People who are wanting to work together in this community engagement campaign. People who love Cornelius," end quote. After Live Love 2011, Katie Feet at Oak Street Mill hosted open mic nights on the first and third Thursdays of the month. It was immediately wildly successful. Warnamundi idealized a recurring festival that was needed to continue to bring together all the aspects of the community, resulting in the Tabawak. After the fourth Tabawak, Warnamundi recognized the opportunity to really elevate it to an arts and music festival. The Tabawak Arts and Music Festival now takes place in the heart of Old Town Cornelius twice a year at Oak Street Mill, Town Hall, and Catawba Avenue on the last Saturdays in April and September. The event showcases local bands, over 100 local artists, craftsmen, vendors, local craft breweries, food trucks, a kid zone, street art and live demonstrations, games, and giveaways. Soon after, in 2013, the Second Friday Street Festival series kicked off. Held monthly from May through October, the festival features a different theme each month. This year promises to be bigger than ever before to include more wow factors to the community to experience, according to Warnamundi. Working with the town government, the businesses and artist communities, and the residents enables a connection of all the dots that instills hometown pride. Warnamundi said, quote, "In doing that, you create so much value for businesses, real estate, and quality of life," end quote. Cornelius is no longer where folks just live, but has become a place folks go for dining, shopping, and gathering together. Tentatively set to launch in April, GoCornelius.com is one of Monday's latest endeavor to bring the residents of Cornelius together and enjoying all the sights and sounds the town has to offer. GoCornelius.com will be a source to find out what's happening in and around Cornelius. The site will host information on local events and happenings, live performances, and basically anything and everything that Cornelius has to offer. I've been the privilege to be the MC for the events in Old Town Cornelius since around 2018, I've had a fun time there with Warner Monday and all the folks in Old Town Cornelius. Looking forward to 2024. From earlier this month, Career Academy and Technical Schools Masonry instructor Robert Waugh and four Masonry 1 students competed in the South Central 42nd Old Castle Adams Top Trowel and Line Burner Contest in Goldsboro. The 35 contestants were given a two-hour time period to construct the brick structure. The judging was done by top-level Masons and included strict guidelines. Jacob Nelson placed fifth overall. Waugh said, quote, "We are very proud of him and all of our students for participating." In Iredell County, the Iredell Health System announced the hiring of Chris Petzko as the new assistant vice president of the Iredell Physicians Network. Petzko received his bachelor's and master's degree in clinical exercise physiology from West Virginia University. We've got more on this stories and your local headlines coming up here on WSIC. I'm Patrick Reynolds with the News Drive at 5. We'll be right back.
The News Drive at 5 will be back shortly on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. Now, back to more of the News Drive at 5 with your host, Patrick Reynolds, on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk Radio. I am Patrick Reynolds with you this afternoon, March 25th, 2024, 5:35 p.m. on the East Coast. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464 are the hotlines into the studio here. Let your voice be heard on the News Drive at 5 and WSIC News Talk Radio. Returning to our local headlines and news stories, this story about the Iredell Health System welcoming a new vice president. Recapping that, in Iredell County, Iredell Health System announced the hiring of Chris Petzko as the new assistant vice president of the Iredell Physicians Network. Petzko received his bachelor's and master's degree in clinical exercise physiology from West Virginia University. He then earned his master's of healthcare administration from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Petzko has 19 years of progressive healthcare leadership experience in outpatients, ambulatory surgery, and physician services. He is also a fellow of the American College of Healthcare Executives. In his new position, he will be responsible for supporting the Iredell Physicians Network's operational and financial functions while collaborating with the vice president to identify and develop strategic directions for growth opportunities, new programs, services, and projects. He said, quote, what excites me about this role is the opportunity to see IPN grow to further serve and support the patients in Iredell Health System's service area. IPN serves as a front door, if you will, for patient care. The ability to meet patients in their community to prevent chronic disease and health conditions that affect their daily life while providing an excellent patient experience is very important to me, end quote. When asked about his motivation for pursuing a career in healthcare, Petzko shared that he was initially drawn to physical therapy due to being a student athlete. However, his interest in the cardiovascular system and wellness led him to clinically exercise physiology. While working on his Master of Clinical Exercise Physiology degree, Petzko developed a deeper interest in acute and chronic diseases and conditions. He explained, quote, "The impact of that degree, plus my early years of management experience, has led to a career in developing and leading health services on many levels. Knowing that I can create opportunities for access to high-quality care for our community provides a great sense of fulfilling a mission," end quote. Petzko is originally from Morganton, West Virginia. After residing in Winchester, Virginia for 20 years, he relocated to Bel Air, Maryland in 2020 and now resides in Iredell County. In Iredell County news, the March meeting of the General Federation of Women's Club of North Carolina, Statesville Women's Club, was sponsored by the Arts and Culture Community Service Team. Guest speakers were local entertainers Rick and Vita Bafford. While Rick played guitar, Vita played her fiddle and performed sets. They also shared how Irish music got started, including what that printed Irish music is thanks to Scottish printing presses. The Baffords talked about their trip with friends to perform in Ireland. The club will be holding a March Mingle tomorrow. That's Tuesday, March 26th at the Wine Maestro in downtown Statesville. Drop in from 5 to 6:30 p.m. The next club meeting will be on Thursday, April 4th at the historic clubhouse located on West End Avenue. There will be a time of social fellowship at 11:30 a.m. and the meeting will begin at noon. The Education and Environment Community Service Team will lead the meeting. The meeting guest speaker will be Peyton Barrows, Literacy Program Coordinator for the Iredell County Partnership for Young Children. All members, guests, and interested women are invited to attend. In preparation for the April meeting, members are joined with the Iredell County Partnership for Young Children to get as many books as possible in the hands of parents and young children in our community. You can truly make a lasting difference in a child's life by donating books for children ages birth to 5 years old. The club is collecting new and like new books, picture books, and imagination library books through April. In Davidson, the Lake Norman Writers will be meeting Tuesday, March the 26th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Armour Street Theater to celebrate the release of a new memoir, The Mongrel. In Connie Fisher's memoir, The Mongrel, a summertime trip to Mexico at the onset of World War II changed the course of the Carmona family. Instead of returning to their home in California, 8-year-old Connie and her family remained undocumented in the Mexican capital, where she grew up to experience a bicultural life in two languages. The eldest daughter of a South American father from Chile and a mother born of Finnish immigrants, Connie's story reveals her universal ongoing search to identify a place where she belongs. Connie is a Davidson resident and has been writing theater reviews for many years. She is the author of Doing It the Right Way, the biography of an Italian hat maker, and her prose appears with 87 other international writers in The Widow's Handbook. She's an active founding member of Lake Norman Writers. So the Lake Norman Writers will be celebrating the release of The Mongrel tomorrow. That's Tuesday, March 26th at the Armour Street Theater. Recapping some of our lead stories from earlier in the news drive at 5, in Charlotte, an area is back open after emergency personnel dealt with a fuel spill and an overturned tractor trailer in North Charlotte. It was at this intersection of I-77 and 485. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police and North Carolina State Highway Patrol both responded to the wreck at the scene. The incident happened about 1:30 this afternoon. Charlotte medics said a person had non-life-threatening injuries at the crash. That area of 485 and I-77 is back open to traffic. In Hiddenite, one suspect has been arrested and another is wanted on murder charges in the deadly shooting of a Catawba County man earlier today. According to the Alexander County Sheriff's Office, the incident occurred around 1:30 p.m. on the 2900 block of Old Mountain Road. Officers reportedly found one victim with a gunshot wound to his chest. Authorities transported the victim, 33-year-old Pang Vui of Newton, to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead. Officers say they conducted a search warrant for the home in Hiddenite and arrested Jason Fielder with felony murder. He is being held in the Alexander County Detention Center without bond. The Alexander County Sheriff's Office also charged with murder 18-year-old Carla Freeland, who is at large. Officers asking if anyone has information on her whereabouts to call the Alexander County Sheriff's Office. Crime Stoppers is offering a reward for information that would lead to Freeland's arrest. In Iredell County, the Homeless Collaborative chair opened the March meeting, reminding members that there is no new normal. Wendy Martin, who is the Goodwill Project reentry coordinator, said, quote, "Things are constantly changing, and we have to keep up on how we can serve effectively," end quote. Collaborative member Pam Navy said warmer weather is bringing more homeless people onto the streets. In the last 2 weeks, she helped in four heartbreaking situations, including women with small children without shelter and individuals who have just been released from incarceration with no identification and only a few items in a bag. She encouraged community members to volunteer a few hours as they can at area agencies to continue the work of helping people in need, including driving people to appointments or to family in nearby cities. Those looking for volunteer opportunities can visit the United Way Hive page at uwiredell.org. Partner Representative Jerry Campbell said that suicide prevention, CPR, and other trainings will be offered at shelters. News Drive at 5 continues. I'm Patrick Reynolds here on WSIC. We'll be right back.
More of the News Drive at 5 after we pay the bills on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. The News Drive at 5 continues now on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Here's your host, Patrick Reynolds.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk Radio. 5:48 p.m. Eastern Time on this March 25th, 2024. 844-STUDIO-4. 844-788-3464 are the listener hotlines that are now open for you if you'd like to call in and chat here on WSIC News Talk. Well, coming up each weekday right after the News Drive at 5 at 6 p.m. is the Scoreboard with Joe Berg as he fills you in on the day of sports. And Monday, my goodness, always a big day in the sports world. He fills it up with so much news every day, every weekday, Monday through Friday. But my goodness, Joe, what a Monday you must have for us to talk about here on the Scoreboard coming up shortly.
There's so many things that we can talk about to start things off. I mean, what a weekend.
What a great, great weekend of sports. I think everybody's March Madness bracket is probably a very popular topic. Some people are smiling and some people are crying.
It's mostly crying because, man, Yale beating Auburn.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
I was pulling for my JMU Dukes, and the Dukes lost to Duke, not even close. So it was tough to watch. But I rooted, I pulled, but what can I do? You know, it just wasn't there.
I'll tell you what, they did good to win the first round game.
Yeah. I have to fall back on that traditional fan. Hey, it was a thrill just to be there for the JMU Dukes. You know, they won the Sun Belt Conference, won a first round game. The whole athletic program is going in the right direction for a guy like me that's got 3 more years of tuition. I still got to slap write them checks for. So let's win some games, fellas.
Yeah, obligated to be a fan, right?
Yeah. I probably will for the rest of my life just because I'm now invested in the college. So it was good. But I was happy for them for the first round. But I'm not surprised, though. Duke is such a good team. No disparity towards them, but yeah, that just is what it is, and all those other sports cliches.
Yeah, and you know that wasn't the only upset with JMU pulling that off. I mean, who would have thought Kentucky losing in the first round?
Yeah,
I mean, if you listen to the Scoreboard, you might have heard somebody say, "Don't pick Kentucky; it's a bad idea." But I didn't think it would be a round one to Oakland with people we've never heard of.
Kentucky has a very poor track record lately in early rounds of the NCAA tournament. They've got a history of strong national powerhouse performances. They've got, you know, they've won the title before, but here we are in the last, I don't know how many years, Rick Pitino's just kind of like, hey, bruh, That program is just not stepping to where it should be. They're expected to contend for championships.
Yeah, and you know, I think the stat is 4 of the last 5, they haven't been able to win a game.
Four of the last five tournaments. Okay,
they haven't been able to win a game.
Yeah, making the tournament is, like I just talked about JMU, making the tournament is a big deal. To Kentucky, that's not anywhere near good enough.
That's the
minimum
expectation.
That's the
minimum. You're going to make the tournament.
And you've got to get into that second weekend, the 16 or the 8, you know, to consider a season success.
Kentucky is, they're considered a blue blood of college basketball.
Yeah.
Even the Elite 8 is not really enough for them.
No, it's Kentucky. I see Kentucky in the Final Four every X amount of years, and it's not like a school where you go, oh my gosh, where did they come from? It's Kentucky. You expect them to be there, and they're not getting it done last several years.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know what it is. I mean, they do have a young team, but they have always seemed to have a young team, and maybe that's just not the recipe anymore.
Yeah. What else caught your eye? Without giving away the scoreboard details, we want people to tune in.
We won't give away too much, but the Formula One race at Australia.
Oh, yeah.
We had a new winner.
We were looking at 10 straight for Max Verstappen. The streak stops at 9.
Thank goodness, because it's just, you know, you want to appreciate greatness when it's right in front of you.
Sure do.
But sometimes it's too much, you know, like it would have been fine to have him win 3 in a row, 5 times during the year, but to just keep winning and winning and Red Bull in general.
Mm-hmm. It was, I think I heard, if I hear this correctly, he has won 35 of his last 41 races. The streak for Verstappen for the last 2 years, you know, has just been, you know, line him up, knock him down.
You know, some people are happy if they just get points in that many races.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, even just finishing that many races.
I know. I think it was a double points day for Haas.
I know they got one. It might have been a double.
Might have been a double, yeah.
They had a great run, too.
They did have a good run.
How can you not cheer for Haas?
Well, hometown.
Hometown.
Kannapolis.
Right over in Kannapolis.
Yeah, ish. I mean, Kannapolis/London, but
it's
okay.
It's the U.S. team.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So.
I know.
You gotta help.
Let's not make the mistake of think they're flying back here every week to work on the cars and then flying them back to Europe. No, they're mostly over in Europe. However, that's like your hometown. There was another racer from Kannapolis, I think, that did pretty well in his career too.
Yeah, pretty well. He drove a stock car.
Yeah, he was pretty good too.
Black car, pretty famous. You know.
Pretty famous, yeah.
Pretty good. I think he has a statue, maybe.
His first car was pink. Did you know that?
Really?
Serious.
I did not know that.
His first race car was pink.
How about that?
True story. Yes.
What series would that have been in?
Probably would have been equivalent to, well, I don't know if it was a series or a local track, but it probably at best would have been equivalent to what was the Xfinity series now, but a late model sportsman probably in the 70s at some point. Yeah.
Okay.
Like that when they still, that division still raced weekly at tracks, was national championship events plus the weekly tracks as well. But yeah, as for Dale Earnhardt is who we're talking about, in case people are listening, we'll say his name.
We probably should have said that.
Yeah, because I'm sure there's people listening. What are these guys talking about? Yeah, his first car was pink. So, Kannapolis, we're back to Formula One, and the results people know, Ferrari 1-2. I thought it was a good race, but I'm looking at it, and you wonder, or I did anyway, is like if Verstappen did not have his problems so early, is this the week that Ferrari finally gives Red Bull a challenge?
I don't know if it had to do with that damage, but the Ferrari was competitive.
Yes.
And, you know, an overtake while Verstappen is still, Carlos Sainz with the overtake, obviously, mm-hmm. while he's still on the track before mm-hmm. the car disintegrates on the right rear. But
yeah.
That was the first time he's been passed this year.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
The radio transmission, I believe that was the first indication Verstappen had trouble in a corner. The rear end, you know.
He said it was loose.
Yeah, the rear end slid.
Verstappen's loose.
It's like, what? He's like, oh, I missed the corner or something happened. And then you could see the car just deteriorate, and a lap later he was done.
I think one of the bigger question marks from the Formula One race, and I know it's like not the most popular sport in this area, but the end of the race decision to penalize Fernando Alonso
yes. yeah.
for defensive driving is what I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
It rubs me the wrong way. It's a sport that, you know, it's political, but that was the most political call I think I've seen. There's just by the books, you slowed down too early and scared the guy behind you. Come on.
Is Alonso's a veteran. He knows how to take a corner. He knows how to charge. He knows how to save his equipment. He was puzzled by it as well. Yeah. He was like, you can go into a corner. There's multiple ways to get there, the line, the breaking point, what have you. He was just trying to get to the finish of that thing. And if the guy behind you, he's in control of his car, what did Alonso do?
Isn't it Formula One is like known for the car behind has to be in control of their car? Because if something happens, it's their fault.
Correct.
So
what's the problem?
So here? What's the problem?
I know. I thought it was a ridiculous penalty as well. And I'm an Alonso fan.
I like Alonso. I'm glad he came back to Formula One.
I was hoping he would come to IndyCar years ago.
Yeah.
I think the conversation was open. I was there. He tried two Indy 500s. One, he did not qualify. But I was there the year that he did make the show. Made the top nine in qualifying. Led the race. Was in the top 10 late in the going. And the engine failed on him. But yeah. what a splash and a story he made here. I was glad I was there for that. It was pretty cool.
That's got to be a cool experience.
Yeah, it was. It was the media scrum there. They have a media day. I don't know. I believe it's Thursday before the 500. And everybody's in a chair. And you can walk. Got freedom to walk and interview and talk, and there's hundreds of reporters in there. So this was a big story with Alonso. So I walk into the media room, and there's this big crowd. You know, I can see the backs of everybody. I go, oh, that's got to be where Alonso's sitting. So I like elbow my way in there in the scrum, and I peek over some shoulders, and there is the chair that Alonso will be sitting in. And there's these other guys in the room, or the drivers in the room, I should say. And they all have people around them, but the biggest crowd was around this empty chair waiting for Alonso to arrive. Wow. And talk. He was a huge story going into that. And as I spoke to him, I had a little, I tried to keep the reporter hat on, but I had a little fanboy going like, wow, that's Fernando Alonso.
Sometimes I'm sure it's hard.
Yeah.
You see those legends and it's like,
yeah, it's like, what? Wow, that's the guy.
That's the guy.
He's right here. And you know, he's looking at me. I'm like, and you know, you ask a question. I had, you know, several I wanted, but we all took turns. But it was interesting. And great guy, good racer. Racer true to his genes, to his heart. And yeah, he's the kind of the guy I pull for. Not being a sports auto racing media member anymore, I'm an Alonso fan. Have that penalty on him Sunday morning. Tough stuff.
Yeah, it rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of it at all. Joe, thanks so much for joining in the News Drive at 5 tonight, giving us a little sports talk before we head off to the scoreboard. Every weeknight, right after the News Drive at 5, Joe Berg with the scoreboard, 6 p.m., WSIC News. I am Patrick Reynolds. This has been the News Drive at 5. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.